Merlin Athrawes shook himself and opened his eyes, letting the imagery recorded by the tiny sensors deployed inside St. Catherine's Church slip away from him. He sat up in his chair in Cherraith, thousands of miles from Manchir, feeling the sleeping quiet of the palace all around him. And something deep within his Mollycirk heart seemed to be beating against the confining cage of his chest's synthetic composites. The power and the passion of Timon Hoskins' sermon echoed inside him, driven by the man's personal burning faith. A part of Merlin, even now, wanted to mock and deride that faith, because, unlike Hoskins, he knew the lie upon which it rested. He knew what Adore Bedard had truly been like. Knew that, in many ways, Jaspar Clinton and Zomson Trenair were far, far closer to Eric Langhorne than someone like Michael Stainer could ever be. He longed with a depth and a strength which shocked him more than a little even now, to hate Timon Hoskins for worshipping mass murderers like Bedard and Langhorne. Yet he couldn't. He literally could not do it, and he smiled crookedly as he contemplated the sublime irony of it all. Adore Bedard had been personally responsible for brainwashing every single colonist planted on the planet of Safehold into believing that he or she had been created, given the breath of life itself, in the very instant their eyes opened on this world for the first time. She'd built the entire lie, brick by brick. Every word of the Book of Bedard, whether she'd actually written it herself or it had simply been attributed to her after her own death, had been dedicated to supporting that lie, shoring up the coercive edifice of the Church's tyranny. And yet, despite all of that, it was the Order of Bedard, men like Timon Hoskins, like Michael Stainer, who were the spearheads of the reformist movement, who insisted on taking the words of Adore Bedard and actually applying them, insisted upon holding those who corrupted the Church's power accountable. Merlin Athrawes wasn't going to make the mistake of assuming that anyone who supported the Church of Karras automatically supported the Empire of Karras as well. The world and the workings of the human heart were too complicated, too complex for that simple a parallelism to govern. Yet Merlin had also known, thanks to the unique perspective his snarks conferred upon him, that the anger against the Group of Four's corruption had never been limited solely to the Kingdom of Karras. Even he had failed to fully appreciate the power of that anger as it bubbled away beneath the surface, for the coercive power of the Church, and especially of the Inquisition, had kept it beneath the surface. Unseen and unheard, where it was not permitted to challenge the authority and power of those who had made themselves masters of the Church. There were others like Hoskins. Merlin had known that from the beginning of this struggle. He never doubted that they would demand the right to speak their minds and their hearts where the Church of Karras was concerned as well, but he'd known they recognized the evils which afflicted the temple. He'd hoped they would find their voices when the Inquisition's stifling hand was lifted from their mouths, and he'd been deeply pleased when Timon Hoskins' name had headed the list of reconfirmed parish priests in Clermont Gerling's first proclamation as Archbishop of Coruscant. Whether Hoskins himself realized it or not, Merlin Snarks had revealed to him long ago that the rector of St. Catherine's was one of the most respected priests in all of Manchir. And there was a reason that was so, a reason Hoskins deserved every bit of respect the laity of the Coruscantian capital gave him, and not simply because he was a gifted preacher. He was that, of course, but the true reason he was so respected, even beloved, was that only the blindest or most cynical of people could possibly have denied the intellect, the integrity, and the limitless love which filled that man of God. He is a man of God, too, Merlin thought now. Filtered through the prism of the Church of God awaiting or not, Hoskins truly has found his own way to God. As he himself says, he's not the only priest in Coruscant who's seen the corruption in Zion, but there's damn well not another man in Manchir who could possibly have seen it more clearly, or denounced it more fearlessly. And if I'd ever doubted there truly is a God, finding a man like this in a church in the middle of Manchir, of all places, would prove there is. The man who had once been Nimue Alban shook his head again, and then, although he would never again need oxygen, drew a deep and cleansing breath. "All right, Owl," he murmured. "Now let's see the take from Manchir Cathedral. I doubt Archbishop Claremont's going to be able to beat that one, but let's give him the chance to try." "Of course, Lieutenant Commander," the distant AI replied obediently, and Merlin closed his eyes once more.